speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Marriage, divorce, and remarriage is a very important subject and one that needs to be discussed often on the subject of worship and giving. Worship and giving, of course, is important. It is important to us to know what the will of the Lord is and to do it. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12 said, if the readiness be there, it is acceptable according to what a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. He's talking about giving to the Lord's church. He's talking about the regular Lord's Day contribution. And of course, in talking about this, he intends for us to worship God in this way. Many people have never seen giving as a part of worship, simply because they don't want to sometimes. They sometimes feel in their hearts when they come to this building and gather in assembly for worship that the Lord has just taken their money, or that the brethren are just too much talking about money. Well, I'll tell you, my friends, I don't talk a lot about money and about the giving of it, because I've always realized, since being a young preacher, that if I can get your heart attuned to God, you're going to give. So I don't spend all my time talking about giving and badgering you to give more. But if I can attune your heart to the will of God, you'll give. And you will give freely. And you will give as if it were that which is a sacrifice unto the Lord. If we sing how great thou art, we come around the table to acknowledge how great our Master and Lord is and how much He has given for us. Then turn around and give Him a pittance of what we think is a gift to Him and say, here is my worship and praise. What in the world are we thinking about? We give more to our entertainment during the week than we give to the Lord. There are some people who buy a bigger grocery bill than they give to the Lord. They pay more for physical food than they do spiritual food. I have checked what Maggie and I eat. We eat quite a bit. And our food bill runs pretty high, but I'd hate to think that I gave less to the Lord on the Lord's Day than I give for my physical food. Now, you don't have to take that as law. But friend, it might be a good way to check whether or not you're giving a gift unto the Lord that is even acceptable unto Him. Yes, giving is worship. Just like singing, just like preaching the Word of God, just like partaking of the Lord's Supper, just like coming before Him in prayer, and all of these acts of worship must be done in harmony with what the truth says. Remember in John 4:34, He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we understand, number one, that God must be the object of our worship. Number two, that it must be in the proper attitude and frame of mind. And this really will catch a bunch of us when it comes to giving, I'm afraid. Our frame of mind is not too good when you get to touching our billfold. We kind of are careful about that, and we watch that pretty close. I remember hearing of one man who was about to be baptized and still had his billfold in his pocket. And the preacher said, sir, don't you want to take the billfold out? He said, no, I want to baptize that too. Well, I think I know some people who didn't baptize their billfold. They have never been free with the Lord. They have never had a ready mind about giving. They have never given as they're prospered. And they're going to be lost because of it. I don't say that with joy. I say that because I want your soul to be saved. And there'll be more people lost, I'm afraid, over the subject of giving than over any other of these acts of worship that we've been discussing. It must be offered to God. And when you do that, that'll help your gift to be what it should be. It must be done in the proper spirit. He said here in 2 Corinthians 8, 12, notice that first phrase, if the readiness is there. In other words, if our minds are attuned to praise and worship God, then it is acceptable unto God according as a man hath, and not according as he hath not. These principles are so important to us. Must be offered to God. Must be offered in the proper attitude of mind and spirit. And then it must be offered in truth. Now, we've learned the truth, I trust, about singing. We have learned the truth, I trust, about the Lord's Supper. We've learned the truth, I trust, about prayer. We've learned the truth, I trust, about preaching the Word of God. And now we want to study the subject of giving. It is such an important subject, just as all these other subjects, because of several reasons. Worship, of course, has great benefit to us. It's not only what it does in God's sight, but it's what it does to us. Worship in all of these acts solves life's problems. It'll bring us nearer to God. It will cause us to keep from slipping. It will give us help in distress. And it gives us the proper perspective of life. And it also causes us to respect God's people more. And it causes us to think humbly about ourselves. Now, when you conduct the acts of worship that the Lord has given, and it must be acts, you know, just to have a heart of praise unto God is not enough. Unless that heart of praise is carried out in the actions of doing what the Lord said. So you may have a good heart in many ways, and yet your concealed faith is worthless. Unless you show that faith in action, it's faith without works, and it is dead. So we need to study these things and be sure that we understand as best we can that these expressions of devotion, yes, even in giving, are to be from the heart, and in harmony with God's will. Many people have never understood that giving is separate from the Lord's Supper. They think that one of the parts of the Lord's Supper is giving. And maybe it is true, as some have suggested, that maybe we should give at the first of the service, have the Lord's Supper at the last of the service. Maybe we should break those things up, but it is a convenient time. The men are at the table, they have served the Lord's Supper, and then the command to give is before us. And so, rather than coming back a second time, they simply have also taken the offering at that time. Many people, of course, do not see the difference, but there is a difference. And they do not see either that it's a test of our love. But it is. You know, our money is a test of our love and how we give and how much we give unto the Lord. Do we love Him this much? And it's a privilege to give. It is not a burden. It is not that which should be thought of as, oh, they're taking away all my funds. Friend, if you feel that way, you're giving grudgingly. And the Lord doesn't want you to give. So you just keep it in your pocket until you're able to give it cheerfully. Until you're able to give it without grudging. We will study that some more this morning. But it's a privilege of Christian. You know, there's nobody else going to support the work of the church except us. No one else really has that privilege. But us, just as in singing, a person can't sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and be in disobedience to His will, not consistently. He can't come around this table and have that privilege of remembering the Lord's death, and of course on the Lord's day is resurrection, unless he's a Christian. He doesn't have that privilege. He can't bow his head and say, Our Father who art in heaven, when he's not his child. This privilege belongs to Christians too. It is a privilege to give. It is an honor that we have that honor and privilege to do. And so it is a work that we are to take care of as an expression of devotion, as an expression of love, and having a ready mind to do those things which God has commanded us to do. Mr. Locke said when he commented on the thoughts of giving, an offering is acceptable to God according to the largeness and willingness of the heart, not according to the willingness and largeness of the fortune. And that's true, isn't it? When we give, it tells us all. It tells all about us. Yeah, I can look at a man's giving like I can look at his praying and tell you what kind of man he really is. Oh, I know we contend sometimes that we're much better than the amount we give, but actually we're not. When we test ourselves in giving and we don't give as much as our physical food costs, or we don't give as much as we would give to a night of entertainment, something's wrong with our heart, isn't it? And so if we can correct the heart, my friends, the financial work of the church will take care of itself. It's really not a difficult subject if we'll just observe the principles of truth. That's true in anything that we study. We've got to have the principles of truth. And when we see failure and downfall in those that are just not paying any attention to what the Lord taught. If we fail in this matter and lose our soul over it, it'll not be the Lord's fault. He has taught us over and over in the Scriptures what it is to be, and downfall only comes to individuals and congregations who ignore what He said. Now, we don't want to lose our soul, and we don't want to fail to find what the Lord teaches about this matter. It is a problem, I know. In fact, the Lord's parables, which there are 38, did you know 11 of them are given to giving? That shows the importance in His eyes. He thinks it's important to give. And He knows because He gave His all. He did not hold back from that which we needed, but the difficulty is seen real early in the church. You study in Acts 2 about the establishment of the church. Acts 3, how it was growing. Acts 4, how it continued to go out into all the world. And then in Acts 5, after seeing Barnabas in Acts 4 give unto the Lord in an acceptable manner, he saw the need and he went and sold some property so people who had come to Jerusalem could continue there. Acts 5 begins, then came Ananias and Sapphira. Isn't that something? The first sin in the church was over money. The first difficulty that was there, and the first scandal in the Jerusalem church, two of its members sold a piece of property, evidently wanting the praise like Barnabas had gotten, but they came before the Apostle Paul and the God of heaven as if they were giving the whole thing, and they saved half of it. They wanted the praise. Don't you imagine if they were like people today, they'd have given them a big hand for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They gave a whole part of that property that they sold. Yes, there is some irreverence around, isn't there? But Ananias and Sapphira agreed on this thing. So both of them knew what was going to happen, at least so far as they could see. What they didn't know was that the Holy Spirit was over these affairs. And God wants to make a mark right here that will always be seen. And God shows people right here that they can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, you can lie to people, and you can get away with that if you're satisfied to do that. They'll think you are one of the finest people in the world because you seem to be giving so much when you know it's not what you in your heart have purposed to give. Well, Ananias fell dead in that service, as you'll recall, and the men wrapped him up, took him out, didn't have even a funeral service for him. Buried him. Didn't go tell his wife. 3 hours before she got there. It's a little longer than our hour service, isn't it? But 3 hours before she came in, and then she came in, and Peter said, Sapphira, did you sell the property for so much? Yes, we did. Well, he said, the same young men that took your husband out for lying to the Holy Spirit are going to take you out too. And she fell dead on the spot. Two of its members gone. Not a tear shed. Nobody said, oh, how horrible. They are destroyed for their lack of giving as they should. But friend, let me tell you, it did happen. And you might think, oh, that's going to harm the church. What if this gets out over the town? Why, here's two members that died because they didn't give as they should. It did not hurt church. It says the church grew because of that. I doubt if there were any hypocrites who wanted to join their number there. I doubt if there were any who wanted to just play religion and not really give as they ought to give, that did come back to the services that next time. They wanted to absent themselves from a place like that. If they intended to be hypocritical about their giving, their devotion, then they didn't want to be there. But you know, it's still recorded in the Bible in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. Don't lie to yourself, in other words. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Have you ever thought about the fact that you give to the Lord's church is sowing to the Spirit? Well, who do you think bought these songbooks? Who do you think pays the light bill here so we can meet? Who do you think provided this building? Who do you think pays the preacher? Who do you think pays the full-time elders? Who do you think, my friends, is taking care of the flowers that go to the death? Who do you think is taking care of the other things that are necessary to keep up the work of the home church? Well, that's what you give. And that's where it all comes from. And you know there are a lot of hitchhikers in the church now. They just ride on somebody else. They don't give. They don't help the poor. They don't have any benevolent heart. And when they give, it's so little that it hardly even makes a mark at all. And yet, they think they're going to heaven. They think their soul is safe. You know, many times a few people carry the whole load. I have often heard, and I guess it's true, that when you see what is contributed on the Lord's Day, about 20% of the people gave it all. Have you ever thought about why the contribution doesn't change when some people go out of town? The fact is, they're not giving anything. The fact is, you're not missed when you're gone. Because you didn't do anything. And it's strange, isn't it? I'd like to be missed when I'm gone. I'd like for the small amount I'm able to give to be great in the eyes of God. And you know what? It can be. If I give it with a proper heart, and I give as He has prospered me. So these who give freely and willingly oftentimes grow tired, and then they quit. They say, well, if no one else is going to give, why should I give? Now, it's not fair. It's not right for some to give more than others. Others have the same ability they have. Now, that's not the same to say you give more than I do. We're not to measure ourselves by each other. And we're not to say, well, now, he gives this much, therefore I give this much. No. We want to talk about equality some more tonight, and I hope you'll be here. But equality doesn't mean that you're burdened and another is eased. But at any rate, many times a few people have carried the whole load, and it can bring the downfall and the ruin of a congregation. We need to be careful because numberless schemes, of course, have been devised to get money. Why, we have car washes almost on a weekly basis in some places to make money for the church. We have raffle tickets given out to make money for the church. I've even heard of beauty contests to make money for the church. The beer truck backs up to the Catholic Church almost every Saturday night in Globe, Arizona, where we used to live, to unload a big load of beer, and by the next week they have to come back and unload another one. There have even been investigations into gambling on the premises of church property because people were getting money for the church. And sometimes they have garage sales and other things. Well, friends, some of these things, such as their fairs and their gambling and their drinking, have even been morally wrong. But they haven't paid any attention to what the Lord said about how we take care of the financial work of the church. Do you know how? Do you know what we're to do? I trust that you do, but if you don't, then let's do it together. Now, the church is not a business institution. It ever has been in business, except to carry out its own affairs. We don't rent the parking lot out because it's time for the ball game. We don't try to say, well, we could make a little extra money here if we would do this or do that. The church is not a business institution. We're only in the business of saving souls, but it takes money to do that too. But we're to use our funds in the manner in which the Lord has said. Now, the trouble over these things has to be settled, and it has to be overcome in some way. Do you have any ideas about how we might do that? We ask everybody in McMinnville, how do you think we ought to take care of the financial situation in the church? They might have a lot of different ideas. But don't you remember John 4:24 said, we have to worship by the truth. So I think if we find the Lord's plan and principles in this thing, I believe we can take care of it, don't you? The fact of the matter is, my friends, I want you to know that any congregation that I've ever preached for has never had financial problems. Because we taught people that their hearts needed to be right, and when we got their hearts right, they gave. And you know, it was almost true that we could say to them, you know, you're giving too much. You need to back off a little bit. We're not able to use all the funds you've given. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem here? It would be a problem that we could take care of, I imagine. There's still missionaries that need money. There's still benevolent cases that can use some funds. And if our heart is generous as it ought to be, we'll take care of those matters. You know, it is said in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that all Scripture inspired of God is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, and as with every other plan that God has given us, faithfulness is involved. Now, if you're not going to listen to these principles, then you won't be able to be successful here. But if you will, you can. And when we understand and when we apply these principles, there's not going to be any problem. Because, you see, it'll be easy when we note the teaching on the subject. Number one, and I guess the basis of all, is the parable that Jesus gave concerning the unjust steward. In Luke 12, verse 41 and through verse 48, he said, he that's faithful in a little is faithful in much, and he that is unjust in a little, he'll be unjust in much too. Now that principle, my friends, is certainly true. If you are unfaithful in anything the Lord commands you to do, even the little thing, you're going to be unfaithful in much. If you excuse yourself from serving God, and then you're going to excuse your whole service to Him. But if you are faithful in little things, you're faithful in much. Now, one of the little things that some may consider little is giving. And he said a steward is one who has the things of another. And he needs to use those things as the other would have him use them. So he first of all says, brethren, all that we have belongs to God. Boy, that's a big principle, isn't it? Can you remember that? All the property, all the houses, all the cars, everything we have belongs to God. And we're just lent this. It's just given to us to use for a while. But he says here, if you're not faithful in that which belongs to another, how are you going to receive that which is your own? Well, what's he talking about, your own? Well, he's talking about heaven, the blessings of life eternal. And so what he says is, if you're not faithful in what God has entrusted to you while you're here upon this earth, you won't receive your own. You won't receive the blessings of heaven. So can we get that principle that everything we have belongs to God? Paul also goes further to say in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Brethren, ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, there's another principle. Everything I have belongs to God. Even myself, I belong to God. He has bought me back from sin. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. Boy, that's really interesting, isn't it? Everything I have and am belongs to Him. And if I use it right, He'll give me later that which is my own. But if I don't use it right, and I'm unjust and unfaithful in the use of these blessings, He's not going to give me what will be my own. He's not going to give me the hope of heaven, nor the blessings of life. So, God's ownership of us is complete and indisputable, isn't it? And is a trustee thing because I have to be active in using the things of another. Oh, that really makes a different complexion on this giving business, doesn't it? It ought to be then not how much shall I give, but how much shall I keep. Isn't that it? Don't you agree? It all belongs to Him. But the thing about it is, I'm entrusted with it here, and He wants me to use it right. Well, in the first church, they had that teaching. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, you teach them to observe all things that I've taught you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And you know what it says in Acts 4? It says they had all things common. And it says further that it was not theirs, but the Lord. So I understand they were taught right. And they gave freely, except for Ananias and Sapphira. You know, it says, though, even in Acts 5:4, that when they gave and they misrepresented what they gave, Peter said, while it remained, was it not thine own? It was in his own power, in other words, to use it as he ought. But they decided they'd try to get by with keeping the money and getting the praise and lying to God. Didn't work, friend. Won't work for me either. It was not theirs, it was the Lord's, but they were free moral agents in the use of it. All right, so I see here the first principle of giving correctly is to remember I'm a steward to use all the property and all the blessings God has given me in a proper way. Second of all, I have to give as I am prospered. Now, isn't that a simple thing? God doesn't expect us to give more than He's given us. So it says in 1 Corinthians 16:1-3, upon the first day of the week, well, verse 1 says, as I gave order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as he may profit, that there be no collections made when I come. Well, I learned the time of giving. It's on the first day of the week. I learned who's to give, every one of us. Every one of us. That's like the same everyone in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. This is giving, but he says every one of us are to give. So upon the first day of the week, the when, every one of us, the who, are to give as we're prospered, that's how much, that the work of the Lord may be carried on. So So in noticing this, according to the amount the Lord gives, it's not how much should I give, may I say again, but how much should I keep? Because I'm to give as I'm prospered. It belongs to Him. And therefore, I need to be sure that my worship is indeed a glory and a bowing down prostrate at His feet. When you give your offering this morning, nobody's going to know it but you and God. But be sure your heart is in it. Be sure it's offered to God as a gift. And then ask yourself as you think about what you give, would I give this to my best friend? Would I give them this little amount? Would it be considered by them an act of allegiance to me and friendship? And then give. And I think you'll do it right. I appreciate the attention you've given to it this morning. We want to consider some more principles tonight and also some things concerning what it is to give correctly. We're not trying to harm anyone or hurt anyone or embarrass anyone, but we are trying to learn the truth because we don't want to lose our soul. We want to live in harmony with God's will in this as much as in singing or praying or preaching or in any other thing that we do in worship unto God. We want to give in an acceptable manner. You know, indeed, I mentioned a moment ago that God gave His Son His all. And the Son gave His all. We see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor, that by the grace of God He might taste of death for every man. He gave for you. He became poor that you might be rich, that you might have the riches of heaven one day to enjoy throughout all of eternity. And what have you done in response to that? He has offered salvation, but it's conditional. It is conditional upon your hearing His Word, upon your believing it with all of your heart, upon your repenting of your sins and confessing the name of Christ and being buried with your Lord in baptism in the likeness of His death and burial and resurrection. How have you responded to those conditions? Is the grace of God yours because you've obeyed the gospel, or has it been overlooked and therefore you're still not saved? We're hopeful that if you're in this audience this morning, not a Christian, that you will come acknowledging your Lord and taking the blessings for yourself. Then the privileges of worship can be yours. And you can do them in spirit and in truth, directed to God. And you can continue to live in this life, a life of faithfulness, humility, and service. And then He'll give you one day what's your own. He'll give you the blessings of eternal life in heaven. And if you have been living the Christian life, or you started out to do so, but you faltered in the way, isn't it time to renew your vows? Isn't it time to say, I'm going to come home and I'm going to stay home from now on? I'm going to work and worship in the Lord's way, and I want to go to heaven. And if that be your desire and you need the prayers of this congregation, and your repentance needs to be public because your sin has been public, then certainly we want you to come. If you're subject in any way, come now.